Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Thanks for the word of God. So good. Can we thank our band? Aren't they wonderful? So good. So good. Is it just me? Maybe it's just me, I don't know. Has anyone else noticed that since the beginning of 2018 here at Nations Church, we've been having a lot of very gritty discipleship messages? Have you noticed that? You know, Pastor Ken, bless him, love you. Oh, he blew me a kiss, that's beautiful. He's been preaching tough messages. He's been preaching messages like reason or revelation, like sacrifice or surrender. And then I chimed in with a message called, how's your love? Now, that's really got up in your grill with that one. How's your love? And then Pastor Corey Turner came in last week, and he preached in the 9 and the 11 a message called, are you a fan or are you a follower? And I know that some of these messages have been a little bit hard to hear. And it's not like we all sit around in a room colluding how to make the messages hard and how to make you all feel uncomfortable. It is actually just what the Spirit of God is saying to us in this season. He is wanting to make us into some bona fide disciples. He's wanting to grow us into disciples. And there's every chance that if you've had an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, then He might have His finger on some particular areas in your life right now, and that's possibly a little bit uncomfortable. And just as a disclaimer before we get into the word, I just want to say, if that's the case for you, go with it. Go with what the Spirit of God is wanting to do in your life, because whenever He comes to you to work on you, it's always because He wants to release you into something greater, release you into something more. He wants to release the church into something greater and more, and He needs us to be mature so that we can handle it. Don't despise the work of God. But get excited, because as you deal with Him, He's going to release more to you. Amen? Amen? So one of the messages that Ken has preached just before Easter was a message that maybe you remember. It was called, Do You Need What You Want? And he talked about the Gethsemane moment where we drop in on Jesus and He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and He is wrestling with His human will. He's wrestling His will against the will of the Father. Do you remember that message? And part of that message when Ken preached to us, he said, whenever we surrender our will to the will of God, it actually requires trust. And trust and doubt in our life are forces that wrestle with one another, but trust is made irrelevant by reaching for certainty. Remember that? That he had the guys on the stage and they were doing their thing. Thanks, Gabe and Yoey, that was great. good memories. But he said, you know, we reach for certainty. We reach to be certain and sure in order to eliminate this vulnerable, uncomfortable place of having to trust in God. And I just felt that there was more to say on this topic of what it means to truly trust God with our lives. So I'm going to try and pick up where Ken left off with a message that I've called God greater than understanding. God greater than understanding. And our anchor passage today is quite a popular one, even if you've only been a Christian for a little while. Maybe you've heard it from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, and it says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. It's a beautiful scripture. It's one of my favorites. Now, we live in a culture, we live in a society that very highly esteems its own understanding. We live in a society that highly esteems its own intellect. Whenever we make, put your hands up if you're a uni student. Lots of uni students here tonight. You understand this. You know, whenever we want to make arguments, we have to reference research. We lean into academia. We lean into scientific research. We lean into medical research. We even cite, you know, technological advancements and all of this. We give empirical evidence to support what we're saying. If we say something but it has no evidence, then it just doesn't have much weight, does it? But as soon as we say that what we're saying is backed by rigorous research or peer-reviewed research, then what we say suddenly becomes sort of enshrined and becomes a little bit untouchable. You agree with me? Yeah. So it's just that we don't have to go too far to realize that human understanding has its limits. There are gaps in our human understanding. I read, actually, in the news just recently, they have discovered a brand new body organ. I know. It's always been there, like in every single human being since human beings were created. My God, it's always been there. But just now, in the year 2018, they've discovered it. And it's not some tiny little itty-bitty minuscule thing. They think it's the biggest organ in our whole body, and they didn't know it was there. And it's called interstitium. And you can Google that if you want. But it is a whole channel of connective tissue, fluid-filled sort of, you know, fibers or something that overlay everything, that overlay all your organs, all your muscles, all your, right throughout your body, acting like a shock absorber in your body. And they only just now know about it. Is your mind blown? Yes. Mind blown. Interstitium. I'm not making it up. You see, there's gaps in our understanding. Professor Stephen Hawking, you might know him. He was one of the world's most renowned scientists, and he's been in the news in these last few weeks because he actually just passed away at the age of 76. And he brought to the scientific world amazing insights into the universe and black holes and gravity, and he was a really intellectual man, and he was quite a remarkable man because he had a severe disability. He was wheelchair bound, and by the end of his life he had no control over any of the muscles of his body, but he had this brilliant mind, and it earned him the title of one of the most brilliant theoretical physicists in history, they called him. And here's a quote of his, and I find it really interesting, this quote, if we could put it up on the screen. He said, "If we do discover a complete theory, it should in time be understandable in a broad principle by everyone, not just a few scientists. Then we shall all, be we philosophers or scientists, and just even ordinary people, be able to take part in the discussion of the question of why it is that we and the universe exist. If we find the answer to that, my friends." I'm being Stephen Hawking. "If we find the answer to that, it would be the ultimate triumph of human reason, for then we would know the mind of God." What an interesting quote, because he was a self-confessed atheist. He did not even believe in God, and I think this is very interesting. But the point I want to make is that even someone that we consider to be the most intellectual out of all of us, he seems to have more questions than answers. He referenced this realm of understanding, like this, even called it a God realm, that we simply don't yet have any answers to. So whether people are prepared to admit it or not, there is gaps. There is limitations to the understanding of men. So we go back to our anchor passage, where we read, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on our own understanding." It's kind of setting us up with a what to do, what not to do sort of scenario. Like, trust in the Lord, don't trust in yourself. Lean on Him, don't lean on yourself. Rely on His insights and not your own insights. The problem is that to do this is much easier said than done. Do I have an amen? Like, it's very easy to say. Like, it's so easy to say, you know, trust in the Lord, Deb Wenham. Trust in the Lord, Ken Lee. I know you're going through hell right now, but just trust in the Lord. You know, that's not my fault. Maybe it is. It's very easy to say, but it's so much harder to do, right? So much harder to live it out. And we're embedded in this culture, as we said, that highly esteems its own understanding and really looks and leans on its own intellect, and we are always tempted to do the same thing. We wrestle with what it means to truly trust God and trust God with our lives, especially in those moments in our lives where our lives don't make sense. In our lives where the things that we see or the things that we perceive, the things that we feel or maybe that we have experienced in our lives, or the things that we know or even at least the things that we think we know, when those things don't line up with the Word of God or they don't line up with who we've believed God to be, it's difficult to trust. And we try and wrap our understanding around these moments, don't we? We use those brain sort of words, like we process and we analyze and we reason and we rationalize and we overthink. Give me a hand up, all my overthinkers in the house. Oh, God bless you. There's a lot of you. Wow. God bless you. Pray for you after. And we often, you're like, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you. But we do, we make predictions and we form opinions and we draw even conclusions, sometimes the wrong conclusions. We say, like, God, you're supposed to be good. But there's nothing good about this situation that I find myself in. And you start to sort of think, well, maybe God isn't good. You know, that job situation or financial situation, maybe the job looks so good and you didn't get it, or you're unemployed for so long, and you start to think that maybe the Lord's passed you by, is not really interested in you. Maybe you had a word from God once, a promise, but it hasn't come to pass yet. In fact, maybe things even went from bad to worse, and you start to think, like, maybe God's abandoned you in your situation. What if there's a big decision to make and you can't get clarity? You just can't, whichever way you dice it up, you cannot get clarity. You start to think that God is silent, etc., etc., and so on. All these types of scenarios would be familiar to all of us, and yet they're examples of us leaning onto and leaning into our own understanding and doing exactly what the Bible has actually told us not to do. And the result of leaning on our own understanding is that faith and trust depart from our lives. And what creeps in is doubt and unbelief. And all of a sudden, we can find ourselves a bit bitter towards God, a bit bitter towards the things of God and the Word of God. Sometimes we use phrases like, I'm angry at God. I've heard so many people over the years tell me, I'm angry at God. But I've come to learn that this phrase, angry at God, is just a code word for I don't understand. I don't understand why. I don't understand what. Angry at God is an understanding issue. And our spirit becomes turbulent within us. And our thoughts can rage in our mind, and actually peace just departs from our life. And it's in those moments that, like Ken preached, we reach for certainty. We reach to try and fix things ourselves. We reach for those human situations. And we even reach to control things. But it's often useless, because how many things are outside of our control? They're actually uncontrollable. You know, we step into dangerous territory when we elevate our own understanding above the Word and the knowledge of God. Who knows that anything we elevate above God in our life is actually an idol? And when we treat our understanding, or when we treat our insight as a final authority in our life, that is it, that is the final authority, then we are in danger of making an idol out of our intellect. But what we need to realize this evening is that God is God and we are not. And we need to remember that God has realms of understanding that we know nothing of. I want you to imagine with me for a moment. You've been looking at this, haven't you? Wondering. I've been watching you wondering. There we go. I want you to imagine with me for a moment that these books on this mini bookshelf, that they represent all of time. So from here, we've got the beginning of time tracking through to the very end of time. Now, we actually don't know when the end of time is, but people tell us we're living in the end times, and I tend to agree with that. So let's say that the 21st century lies somewhere around here. Volume 8. And so let's just say, for the sake of this example, that the year 2018 is lying right here on page 423. X marks the spot. You are here. You're tracking with me so far. Yeah. So all of our lifespan, give or take a few years, whether you're spring chicken in the house tonight or, you know, you're pushing 40 like me. All of our lifespan, let's say, is represented on these pages. Oh, scandalous. No one wanted it at the Salvation Army. You could have gone and bought it. This is us. You know, you are here. All of our knowledge, all of our experience, all of our history, all of our thoughts and all of our knowledge about history and things past, it's contained on these few pages. And I want to say to you, they are important. They are very important. I don't want to minimize the importance of you and your place in time and history. You know, the big story doesn't make sense without you. But I just do want to say that God is bigger than this. God is bigger than this. See, in Revelation 22 and verse 13, Jesus says about himself, he says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. You know, he was God at creation. John 1 chapter, verse 3 says that nothing was made without him. He was there when everything was made. So he's God at creation. He is God of the patriarchs, our forefathers. He's God of the story of Israel and the history of Israel. He's God of the redemptive story. God come in flesh as Jesus Christ died and rose again. He's God the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, who abides with us. He's in us and for us. He's the one and very same God that we're worshiping here, that we have worshiped so beautifully here today. God is bigger than this. What's more, God is not constrained to time. He is God eternal. He is God from everlasting to everlasting. And although my representation is a little bit crude, in this representation, God is not just God of the books, he's God of the bookshelf as well. God is bigger than this. We are here, but God is here. God is greater than our understanding. And when we conceptualize this, then the wisdom from Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 starts to become clearer when it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Yeah. You'll note it doesn't say have not your own understanding. Yeah. It doesn't say use not your own understanding. It just says lean not on your own understanding. Like, don't put all your weight on it. Don't treat it like a final authority in your life, because you will find that oftentimes it is inadequate or it is incomplete. If you put all your weight on it, you will find that that is risky business. You can see the potential for this to be taken out of context. You can see the potential for this to be an incomplete or an unfinished sort of series of events, an unwritten story. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9 says, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but only in part. Completeness has not yet come. And if we lean on just a part, you know, if we lean on what we know as if we know it all, we might just fall over. It's risky, risky business. There's a lot of examples in Scripture where we see that human understanding is very limited, where it just is inadequate and doesn't cut it. Maybe you remember when Jesus healed the man born blind in John chapter 9. Let's have a read together in verse 1. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, they said, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It's an interesting question. And the question actually reveals what they understood. The question reveals their understanding. And the disciples held a commonly held view that if calamity was to befall a person, then it was a result of their wrongdoing. It was basically their own fault. And that was their worldview. And they asked this question out of that understanding. But Jesus blew them out of the water. He blew their understanding out of the water when he answered them. And he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said, but it happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So they were asking a question out of this, but Jesus actually responded to them out of this, out of that realm of revelation, divine revelation. What about when the disciples, when Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And again, they answered out of the common understanding of the day. All sorts of answers that reflected what men thought. What men thought. And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and others say you're Jeremiah. And Jesus asked them this next question. He says, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter has his moment of brilliance, and he says, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus commends him and says, you're well done, Simon. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this was not revealed to you by a man, but it was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. In other words, it didn't come to you from here, but it came by divine revelation and insight that I brought to you by my Holy Spirit from my Father in heaven. There's many more examples that we could point to in Scripture where that human understanding was just completely inadequate. So the question really becomes for us, how do we actually enter into this trusting in the Lord with all of our heart? And I think it's a matter of bringing our understanding back into divine order. We need to make this subject to this. Like, I'm all for being educated. I'm all for gaining greater insights and improving yourself in that sort of way. I've got a bachelor degree. Ken's got a bachelor degree. Don't get me wrong. I'm not swinging the pendulum out the other direction at all. After all, God gave us our minds. He created our minds. But here's the thing. Our minds make wonderful servants, but they make terrible masters. Yeah. Our minds make wonderful servants, but terrible masters. God has given us our mind as a faculty by which we are to love and serve him. Yeah. The scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your strength. Our minds are not the Lord. They're simply servants of the Lord. And if you're elevating your understanding as a final authority in your life above God, then you've really got to ask yourself the question, who is the Lord in your life? Who is the Lord? Our understanding has to come and take its rightful place as subject to the Lord, as under the Lord. And in humility, we need to acknowledge that God is God and we are not. In humility, we need to accept and acknowledge that His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's not that we would dismiss our understanding. It's not that we would deny our understanding. It's just that we would submit our understanding under His greater realm of understanding. Abraham in Scripture did this brilliantly as he and Sarah journeyed their long journey. I think it was something like a 20-year journey of infertility. So he had this promise from God that he would be the father of many nations. And yet month after month, year after year, his wife did not get pregnant. So the promise from God just totally contradicted what he saw and the pain he experienced, no doubt, and what he understood. Yet it says in Romans chapter 4, let's have a read of that. Romans 4 verse 19. It says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. See, he wasn't in denial. He was facing the facts. He was facing the facts that his body was old and he knew his wife's womb was dead also. He just submitted his experience and his understanding to a greater realm of understanding, the realm of the understanding of God. Not just the understanding of God, but also the power of God. He knew his understanding was inferior to the knowledge and the wisdom and the power of God, and he didn't waver in his faith. And I think this is the substance of truly trusting in the Lord. Back to our anchor passage, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, or in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. What does that look like? Well, I think it basically means that in all your ways, like in all, like your planning, even your five-year planning, in all your decision-making, in all your career path choosing, in all of your job applying, in all of your relationship forming, in all of your traveling and your purchasing and your coming and your going and your navel-gazing, we must always remember this versus this. We must always in humility acknowledge the limitations of the realm of our own understanding and therefore in humility defer to His greater understanding. You know, we've had to go on a really big journey of trust when it comes to our son Isaiah. If you don't know, he has a disability and his disability in his life means that he's going on for 12. He has an intellectual age of about a 4 or 5-year-old. And we're totally believing God for the miraculous to be displayed in his life. Pray it over him all the time. But right now, he's literate. He has no functional numeracy whatsoever. And he has very limited speech. That's a pretty big disability for somebody that's about to head into adolescence. And there is a lot about our situation with Isaiah that I don't understand. You know, across time, I have definitely raged in my thoughts and definitely spent time just asking, why God? Why us? Why this? Why Isaiah? You know, if I were to lean on my own understanding, in this situation, I tell you, I'd be in trouble, you know. If I were to take this as a final authority in our situation, that wouldn't be good. I think I'd be tempted to get better. I'd be tempted to think that it's all just a bit too hard. We just need to batten down the hatches and just get on with, you know, raising a son with a disability and forget serving the Lord. I would be tempted to be that person, angry at God, you know, draw some wrong conclusions even. But I've chosen, you know, like in all my ways, in all my circumstances, and even in all that doesn't make sense, even in all that I don't understand, I have chosen to remember this is not a finished story. While there's still breath in my lungs, God is not done with us yet. He's not done with us yet. He has realms of understanding that completely eclipse my understanding. And my job was not necessarily to understand. My job was to just trust Him, be obedient and trust Him. And you know, His word comes to me with a promise. He doesn't leave me alone. He says that as I trust Him with all my heart, and as I don't lean on my own understanding, and as I acknowledge Him in all of my ways, He says He will. Not He might, not He possibly could, not He maybe will, but He will direct my paths and make them straight. And that's good enough for me. We must always remember that the God who's asking us to trust Him, He loves us. He loves us so much. He loves me. He loves you so much. And we might not know how He's working all things together for good. We just need to believe Him that He is working all things together for good. If we continue to walk with Him, if we continue to trust Him, at any moment of His choosing, divine revelation can come to you. Insight from His realm can come to you. Breakthrough can come to you. As some sort of divine turnaround in your situation, a 180 can come to you. I want to say beauty can come out of ashes. Joy can come out of mourning. Praise can come out of a spirit of despair. The broken can be made whole. Who knows? Our God can take Joseph out of a prison and make him a ruler. He can take a David off the side of a hill with sheep and make him a king. Our God can part a sea. Our God can shut the mouths of lions. Our God can cause a boy to slay a giant. He can even raise the dead to life. He is God and He is good. And if you want to praise Him, go for it. Singers and musos can join me. Thank you, God. I just want to finish with this thought, because I've been around long enough to know that you got some stuff going on your pages. Everybody probably in this room has something. Maybe you just think, oh, it's just a small thing. Actually, life's going pretty well at the moment. And maybe you're in utter turmoil. I don't know. But there'll be the whole spectrum of people in this room tonight. And I just want to say to you, you know, whatever is on your pages, whatever is causing you those sleepless nights, whatever is causing you to be anxious inside of you and wrestling with trusting God, is it the job? Is it the marriage? Is it the relationship? Is it the family breakdown? Is it the crisis? Whoever you are, whatever it is, there is an invitation to you to come to God, to come to Him, and to lay it all down before Him. It says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, and you can almost hear the voice of God, the voice of His fathering and His love of you oozing out of this passage in Philippians. And it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. us love this passage, the peace of God that transcends all understanding. In other words, the peace of God is a force unto you that is even greater than what you understand. It goes above and beyond. It is more powerful in your life even than you understanding. And it is available to you simply by coming to Him in relationship and coming to Him in prayer and in humility, submitting all of this before all of this. You know, He loves you. And you might not always get divine revelation in the moment. You might not always get divine understanding in the moment, but you can always have divine peace. You can always have His peace. Yeah. Revelation does come. Insight does come, but it comes in His timing. It comes on His timetable, not your own. But in the meantime, there's peace in His presence. There is peace in His presence. I'm a first-hand testimony to the fact that there is peace in His presence. A supernatural transaction takes place where you offload your anxiety to Him, and He comes and He floods your soul. He floods your space. And all of a sudden, like the words in that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Why don't you stand to your feet all over this place? It's available to you. You don't need to endure the turmoil of soul. You don't need to endure the anxiety of thought. In fact, I feel like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and He wants to break anxiety off people's life in the place tonight. If you're struggling with that, let your faith rise that can go in a divine exchange. He says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. I can feel it. The power of God's about to break out in this place. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Just before we move on to a time of ministry, I just want to address you in this room tonight. If you don't know Jesus, come on, Christians, pray with me. If you've never prayed a prayer and asked Jesus, ask this God that I speak of, this God who loves you, if you've never prayed a prayer and invited Him into your life, but tonight you would like to, it starts very simply by you saying, I believe in God. And I want to receive Him into my life. There is no rules. There is no code of conduct that you have to fill out and form. The Holy Spirit's going to work on you. You just start in your relationship with God by receiving Him into your life. And if that's you tonight, all over this place, and you're saying to me, Chrissy, I believe. And I want to receive Him into my life. If that's you, while every eye is closed all over this building, would you just put up your hand and show me who I'm praying for tonight? I'd be so honored to pray for you. Yeah, I see that hand. That's incredible. Is there anybody else that says, I believe and I want to receive Him into my life? I don't want to walk on my own. Anybody else all over this building? Thank You, Lord. Anybody else? Come on, He loves you. Don't resist Him. The Scripture says that He wants to give you a hope and a future and a great purpose. He wants to show you why He made you, why He put you on the earth. He wants to bring sense to all those things that you're good at and wipe away the past, wipe away your former mistakes. I can't see any more hands. I just wonder, that guy there put his hand up. I just wonder, would you do something brave and just come down here and meet me? I'd love to pray for you. Can someone support him as he comes? That's awesome. Hi. How are you doing? My name's Chrissy. What's your name?
Brian.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, it's good to meet you. I can see God's touching your life right now. Brian, I'm going to say a line of a prayer. And you're just going to repeat it after me. And the whole church, they're going to join in because they're cheering you on right now. So don't feel... Yeah, that's them. It's going to be a really significant moment in your life. So I'll start. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. Thank You that He died. And that He rose again. so that I could have life, so that I could have my sins forgiven, so that I could have my past washed away, and so that I could have a relationship with you. Come into my life. Forgive me of everything I've done. Give me a fresh start from this day and every day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.